You will note from our study today that Jesus was falsely accused. This occurred frequently during his earthly ministry. Well, if this was the case with Jesus, those who follow him can expect no less. So when you are falsely accused, rest in the Lord. He understands and he will help. In the early days of his ministry, there were several erroneous reports being advanced about Christ. One had to do with baptism. Let me read from John the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. How quickly the rumors spread, hindering our Lord's work. It is obvious that the Lord Jesus had to leave Judea at this time because of the false report. The Pharisees were becoming incensed. They had respect for John the Baptist, but they had many questions about Jesus of Nazareth. It appeared that Jesus was the more popular of the two. The Pharisees were disturbed by this. Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria, John tells us. Christ's popularity among the multitudes was growing rapidly. As the result, trouble was brewing among the religious leaders in Jerusalem, who wished to curtail Christ's future ministry. This may be one reason why Jesus left Judea to go north to Galilee. He was not being cowardly, for the hour had not yet come for him to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world. It is not wrong to attempt to escape the evil intents of wicked men. There is no special honor in martyrdom if there is any way to avoid it. Now there was another reason why our Lord left Judea. We read in verse 4 that he says he must go through Samaria, though this was not the usual route taken by the Jews. A hasty look at the map of Palestine might suggest that there were no alternative routes. Judea was located in the south, Galilee in the north, and Samaria in between. But remember, the Jews despised the Samaritans and would have nothing whatsoever to do with them. Thus, they frequently crossed the Jordan, traveled up through Perea, and then entered Galilee. But Jesus must needs go through Samaria, because there was a soul who needed help. While most Jews in their travels north would have taken the longest way to escape Samaria, the Lord Jesus took the shortest route possible to reach a woman who was spiritually destitute. Look at verses 5 and 6. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now the sixth hour could have meant either 12 o'clock noon or 6 o'clock in the evening, according to the Hebrew reckoning of time, or the Roman. It would seem that it was at the noon hour that our Lord arrived at the well. It is well to note that Christ was wearied with his journey. The importance of our Lord's humanity is often overlooked. We like to think of John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." But the Word was not only God, the Word was man. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." This flesh was the same flesh you and I possess, with one exception. He was without sin. When Jesus arrived in Samaria, he was weary in his flesh. Do you ever get weary? Do you ever become tired and sometimes almost reach the breaking point? The Lord Jesus knows all about this. The eternal Son of God became weary when he was on this earth. In fact, we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Sometimes our cup is filled to the brim with sorrow and grief. There is one who understands all about sorrow because he has been through it all. Our part is to trust him, to believe him fully for all things. How many of us are willing to trust him in the sunshine hours? But we fail to trust him when the storm clouds gather above us, when the way becomes confusing, and we know not which direction to go. Because the Lord Jesus was a man on this earth, facing all the sorrows of life as you and I know them, he can fully understand your heartache. At the same time, he can provide a way of deliverance. God will not fail you. Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. This is what we read in Joshua 23:14. Dr. W.S. Martin hesitated to leave his very sick wife to fulfill a preaching engagement. The reassuring counsel of his small son came as a word from the Lord. "Don't worry, Daddy. God will take care of Mother while you're gone." So Dr. Martin preached that night, and hearts sought and found the Lord. Rejoicing, he hurried home to find Mrs. Martin much improved. During his absence, she had written the words to the well-known gospel song, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you." Yes, God will always take care of you if you trust him to do it. Remember, he knows your need, and because he knows, he will undertake. Thus, if you are a believer, fear no one but God. The Bible says, "Fear not, I am with thee." And we have this marvelous promise from the lips of our wonderful Lord. We need never fear. I read in the Old Testament, Isaiah 41:10, God says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." He is our God. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Child of God, you have nothing to fear. Oh, you can't see ahead. You don't know what's up the line, but God does. And the wonderful thing about it all is he is sufficient. No matter what it is, we have a miracle-working God. He can change lives. He can change the thoughts of men and women. He can do everything. So trust him. Believe him. He won't fail. Now, if you've never trusted Christ for your salvation, you need to do that, because without Christ, you can't go it alone. You need the Savior. And so I invite you to turn to him right now and say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died for my sins. And right now, I receive you as my Savior and Lord." That isn't difficult, is it? Just say it to God and mean it. I mean, you have to be sincere about this. Then find a good church. Spend time each day reading God's Word. Take time to pray. Trust the Lord for everything. He will not fail. Blessed God, we recall your servant who was able to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." May we trust you in a similar way. And for those who need to be saved, may they come just now, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.